All-Star Week here on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, Jen Rolnick. Inching closer to Thursday, 6 p.m. I think that's when everything officially gets started, especially here on Sportsnet when we're covering you wall to wall.
We got the draft that night, right?
The draft. The draft.
How do you feel about that format?
First of all, hold on. Let me just kind of set the whole thing up, JB. You're just eager beaver today,
yes, sorry
which
about.
I don't mind.
Yeah.
You know, are you sporting a new hoodie, by the way?
You know, it's not new, but I don't wear a lot of hoodies on air.
I'm a hoodie guy.
Yeah, I think I'm becoming one.
I wear a lot of hoodies.
Dad days. Yeah?
Yeah, I do.
Pro hoodie?
Days,
yeah.
Okay, so jam-packed Sammy with guests today.
Yeah.
Nice job today.
Thank you.
So in a couple of minutes, we're going to welcome in Adam Oates. Of course, we've had Adam over the last few years, one of my favorite guests, because he just sees things so differently, and a guy that's been around a few All-Stars
himself. Five-time All-Star.
Five-time All-Star, so we can't wait to talk to him as we get moving along. Jason York's going to pop by as well, give us some thoughts on Ottawa's come from behind win last night.
Mm-hmm.
Then Frank Cervelli is going to give us a few rumors to start off the next hour. And then a guy that I've invited countless of times to only tell me, I don't know, one night he maybe is conditioning his hair.
Oh my.
Another night, or another reason why he's just too busy, but P.K. Subban's going to join us.
P.K.
So I can't get him.
Carl.
I've known him since he's like 7.
Oh, really?
And you, on the other hand, mm-hmm. get him like that. Is it me?
No, it was Disco Dan.
Disco Dan
texted me this morning and said, would you guys want P.K. Subban today? And I said, Disco Dan, let me check with
all
the
All right.
And here we are.
Okay, so good job, Disco Dan.
Yeah.
And terrible job me the last few years trying to get him on our show.
Yeah.
Okay, the draft. Mm-hmm. So come to think of it, I still thought of we're going to see an Atlantic, a Metro.
Yeah, no.
A Pacific, and we're not. We're going to see
a Matthews, a McDavid.
Yes.
A McKinnon.
Who draft their own team.
Yeah.
So each of them have an alternate captain. So those two players are locked into the team. So for Team Matthews, which I believe is with the Biebs.
Yes.
So those three guys are locked in.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody else is like a free-for-all.
Yeah. And that's...
Is
do
the Biebs
we know,
playing?
Well, I don't know. Do we know if they're
that's
allowed
when it gets canceled,
to drink
by the way.
At this draft? Are they back to that again?
Well, the last draft...
Where the boys were pretty loose. It was.
Did they only do it once?
No, I think they did it twice because Phil got, or Ovi got the car once because he wanted it, and Phil got it once because he's Phil.
But no, the one that was the famous one is Phil being last.
Yes.
And having like the picture.
Right, Ovi
like,
taking a picture
of him being last.
But didn't Ovi win it? Was Ovi wanted to like give the car away to someone? I think he got it the next year as like a joke or something. I could be wrong.
I think it's not by accident that they're going to have the players do this first at 6 p.m.
Early.
It's really hard. I think it's safe that way.
Yeah.
You don't want to get it to 9:30, 10
right.
o'clock, and it's still going on. That's when it could get a little dicey for them. So they're smart because they've got, I think, the draft. Then the 1967 NHL alumni will honor the Leaf championship team.
Yeah.
And then the women will play their three-on-three.
Nice.
Beautiful.
There so there's your Thursday night. So just getting back to your point. So,
yes, sir.
So you got Team Matthews and Morgan's protected now with Austin. But there's two Leafs floating around.
Mm-hmm. I've wondered
Nylander
this.
Nylander and Marner.
Yeah.
So Austin gets to pick. And who's he taking?
I think you gotta go away from those guys entirely. Like, I think you can't pick one. I think you gotta say, it's an all-star game, I'm going off the board, I'm taking this West Coast guy.
Are you creating some drama here?
I just, like,
no,
I don't know, Kipper, like, What happens if he doesn't? You're going to come in here with some narratives on Monday and be like, they don't like each
other.
He got
schedule B bonuses, and he didn't get picked.
Like, clearly they like Nylander better than Marner. Or clearly they like Marner better than Willie.
Here's the question. Who would he pick? If he truth serum, no repercussions.
I'm with you. He can't pick
either
because
I think
someone will get their feelings hurt.
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, Nylander has 11.5 million reasons.
To be honest,
for 8 years,
you might be able to hurt Mitch's feelings. You could only hurt Willie's feelings. Willie's just like in a hail of money.
The Woody Harrelson meme where he's like dabbing his eyes with money. Like he doesn't care. He couldn't care less. No way he cares.
Yeah.
So, you gotta take Mitch. I bet she takes Mitch. Now that I think about it more,
it does seem like the more likely choice.
Yeah. And then it'll feel like three Leafs against one Leaf.
And then the Leafs get eliminated in the first round. People are going to make. Is that the joke?
God.
I didn't make it.
Oh, my God.
I know what's out there, though.
Oh, my God.
All right.
It'll be fun.
It'll be fun. Yeah. Either way, it'll be fun. All right. Anything else on?
Do you want to talk about the guys who are going to be in the skills contest?
There's only 12 guys. This is the first time that the skills will not include like the whole league kind of being on the ice or repped. How do you guys feel about that?
And I like it.
Just as I put Jesper Bratt in there, it's Matt Barzal.
Oh, okay.
But Jesper Bratt's replacing Hughes, but
Names, if you don't know, it's David Pastrnak, Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar, Leon Draisaitl, Connor McDavid, Matt Barzal, Nikita Kucherov, Austin Matthews, William Nylander, Elias Pettersson, JT Miller, and Quinn Hughes.
The best of the best.
I mean, unbelievable assembly of talent there. That's pretty unbelievable. I think Sarah Valley said... Some joke, like someone put it to me that it's 11 of the best players in the world and JT Miller, something like that, which is like, you know, I think that was a vote in a portion of it. And the Canadian votes are pretty heavy, right? So JT Miller gets in.
I actually do think that for the first time, and Kipper, you've talked about what it's looked like over the past 2 years when they're on surfboards and whatever the hell else they were doing, that you weren't a fan of that. And I don't think anyone was. But I do think
that's an understatement.
Yes.
I thought at times it really... embarrass the guys.
But this has a chance to be really good.
Yeah.
With that collection of talent on the ice with $1 million on the line, which this isn't the NBA. They don't, you know, they don't make $85 million a year.
Right.
Like they're all well-paid guys. All those guys are, but like $1 million is $1 million. To me, it actually has a chance to be pretty good.
So the format, if you don't know, is that each of these 12 guys will pick four of the first six events. And the six events are fastest skater, hardest shot, stick handling, one-timers, passing a challenge, and accuracy shooting. The top point earners, the top eight guys, will go on to a shootout. And then the top six guys will go to the final event, which is an obstacle course, combining all the six events. And the points are doubled in the final round.
I think the intrigue on how hard they're going to push themselves for the $1 million is enough to... make everybody watch again.
Yes. I mean, that is...
Wasn't it somebody on Colorado? I'm not sure who it was. Threw out that, we're real excited because Cale Makar promised each of us $100,000 if he wins the $1 million.
Is that what he said?
Really?
Math doesn't add up on that. That cost him a lot of money.
And I think that was news to Cale.
To Cale?
Yeah.
But it is like, it would be fascinating to know if there is some sort of... this is fun money. I'll throw, you know, chip into the boys or something. That's a lot of money.
You could definitely see somebody donating a bunch of it to charity or something if they win, or maybe someone just keeps it all.
My wife said that, and I was like, that's too much money. That's nice to make a donation, but
maybe some of it.
$1 million.
It's
the only way to get people's attention.
Yes.
Now.
Now you have their attention. I don't begrudge anyone playing hard for lots of money. I don't expect them to give it to the SPCA. Great if they do, but, you know, it's... how you get your money is not different one. I don't know.
Yeah. So I don't know if this will go down as a trivia answer, but the last few years it's been this, and especially again this year, does every team need to be represented at an NHL All-Star game?
I have a strong opinion on that.
No.
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 So do you know this year not every team will be represented?
Who's not sending?
Well, I'm asking you guys.
Do you know?
I do know.
Who is it? The Blackhawks? I don't know.
No, they got Dickinson,
right? Yeah.
And Boone Jenner from Columbus.
Take a couple of guesses.
Seattle.
Nope.
I have no idea. Just bad radio. Tell me.
Stanley Cup champions.
Vegas?
No rep this year.
Come on.
It was Jack.
And he's Eichel. Hurt and they're not replacing him?
I'm under the impression they're not replacing him.
So they probably got denied, right? Because Bratt was apparently had a vacation booked to some tropical destination and now was going to the All-Star Games like Toronto, February.
It's actually supposed to be nice this weekend, though.
Is it okay?
Yeah. It's actually supposed to be some sun.
Unlike the NBA All-Star Game when we have minus 30 the one
not
year?
To play amateur meteorologist, but I think it's supposed to be pretty warm this weekend. Some sun. Right. So there you go.
All right. Let's welcome in someone that knows a little bit about an NHL All-Star Weekend, former National Hockey Leaguer, Hall of Famer, president of Oates Sports Group, Adam Oates. Oatesy, thanks for joining us, man. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but 5 appearances at an NHL All-Star, and this was basically early 90s to 96, 97. Is there any comparable that, you know, stands out for you in terms of the level of intensity back then to what it's shaped up to today? Like, how big of a feather was that, you know, to be a part of that group with the Messiers and the Gretzky's, the Lemieux of the world?
Well, you know what? My first game was in Chicago during Desert Storm, which was, you know, obviously for the country, a big thing. It was at Chicago Stadium. And, you know, it was a fantastic game. You're a little nervous, my first time. And, you know, I was in the West Coast guys in St. Louis. Gretz is there talking to the guys, you know, and talk about what a gracious guy. He brought a stick for every guy.
Wow.
He knew we all wanted a stick from him. I did too. So he comes walking in with like 25 sticks. So talk about fantastic. And then during warm-up, he stood at center ice, and basically every guy on both teams came over and took a picture with him, right, myself included. And, you know, fantastic experience. The tough part has always been trying to make it sort of a competitive game, right? And it definitely it's a hard thing. You look at the NFL, they play flag football, basically, in their All-Star game. And it's just tough because no one wants to hurt anybody. You want to sort of try, but you don't want to over-try. So, you know, you got to just try and enjoy the moment. And if you're a fan, you got to try and enjoy seeing the guys out there. You know, it's not going to be quite the same as a hockey game.
So, curious to get your thoughts on the new format then. This year, there's 6 events to start, and the players get to choose 4 of them. I actually am curious to know which ones you would choose if you were in the All-Star game today. It's the fastest skater, hardest shot, stick handling, one-timers, passing challenge, accuracy shooting. Which ones do you want, Oatsy?
Well, not the fastest skater, that's for sure. I would probably do stick handling, passing, and accuracy.
There you go. The guys that are going to be in it is a pretty impressive list of guys. Do you have some of your clients going to the All-Star game?
Yeah, I got about 15 going. Yeah.
Oh, is that good? That seems good.
that's a good list. That's a good list. Do you think, you know, within the confines of what we're going to see, that pretty much is enough to get the skill to where it's at an entertainment level somehow, some way? If I was to put together a committee to come up with different looks or ideas to the different skill, I would put you in charge because I think you've got the mind to come up with something that no one's thought of that would really show off skill. But does anything come to mind to you in terms of other angles that you could kind of attack this skills competition?
It's, you know, it's something that I would have to think about. And one of the things that when you think about our game, you know, you think about overtime. Okay. So overtime only has 6 guys on the ice. And every guy I talk to, what's the number one rule of overtime? Don't shoot the puck from too far away.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not scoring. And now you're going to get caught out there tired. Right. So that is on every guy's mind is when you're going down on a 2-on-2. You're trying to create some sort of defensive mistake that you can capitalize on without giving the puck away. So, like, for me, I'm always a guy that appreciates the fact that the guys are thinking about that, right? They think the game, right? And the best players think the game. So, you know, I would say that if you gave me some time, I could come up with some ways to make it more attractive, like maybe just plays in one zone. Because, like, if you think about 2-on-2 in zone, 3-on-3 in zone, that's what we do in the summer, right? Small games, right? Because the best players in our game are really good in tight areas, right? So I would force them to be in a tight area. Why? Because they're gonna get the puck more, and they're going to be able to react more, make quick plays more. You know, that would be something off the top of my head.
Oh, my God. Imagine they go width of the ice in overtime. It would be absolute mayhem. I love this idea.
You think about all the sports, they all practice small area games.
Sure. Yeah, no, it makes a ton of sense. And given the things these guys could do, I think they would pull out some pretty unbelievable highlights. It'd be nonstop action, too, which is kind of what the league is looking for. So, you know, heading towards this All-Star game, I think they've changed it enough to be like real hockey. Like, they've gotten away from all the gimmicky sort of events. Is there a type of player that thrives in skills contests when you isolate their skills? Like, a lot of guys struggle putting it into game action. Is there players that really would benefit from playing in a skills contest where you just isolate certain skills?
Yeah, I would say, yeah, for sure. The tough part about the game is, so you go walking in this locker room and there's sort of all the stars on every team, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, hey, boys, how's it going? Good. And then you're going out there and you're trying to sort of try, but you don't want to be that guy that looks like he's trying too hard.
Yeah.
Because then the other guys might be like, okay, take it easy, right? And we all live through that little imaginary line of trying to look good, yet not trying to try too hard. And that's what makes it very difficult because, and there's also no contact, right? Which is also a huge part of our game that's now missing in this particular game. So the guys are trying best they can to kind of come up with something and not look like they're trying too hard, which is obviously very difficult.
Adam, where do you put overthinking in the equation on hitting a target or just doing something when as we know, athletes sometimes don't think meat, right? Just go out there and do it and let your subconscious sometimes take over. And I don't know if we can even equate this to a field goal kicker in Buffalo that usually looks like he's money. But the more you think about it, the more the weight gets on your shoulder. Do you talk to your clients about just, you know, different ways to not overthink something, including a simple skills competition, maybe Friday night?
Yeah, you know what? I actually have talked to a couple guys when it's their first game and kind of just try to say, don't let it weigh you down. And it's sort of like the first time guys are doing shootouts because the game's over and now it's not quite the same as during the game. It's not like a penalty shot during the game, right? But it's still, when you haven't done it in a while, the magnitude of the fans staring at you while you're going down the ice, some guys handle that better than others. That's a fact. So you want to try and take that in and try and take the moment in and not, like you said, weigh yourself down with trying to hit a target, right? And you know, I would say some guys handle that better than others, for sure.
Oh, see, how would you teach shootout skills? You know what I mean? Like, there's points on the line for this. It feels like an under-discussed part of hockey where you go, it's the skills contest. And teams miss playoffs by a point every year. Like, those are crucial moments in this All-Star game. There's going to be a shootout. You know, is there a way to teach guys to be good at this, or is it something that just you're a scorer or you're not a scorer?
Oh, no. No, there's ways. Like, we work on that in the summer. We do.
Yeah.
We work on ways to come in on a goalie and change, for example, change speeds and be able to have your hands in a spot that you can shoot it or deke them, depending on what you want. So we have things we go to. Absolutely.
Are you the guy who's teaching Kuznetsov to go 2 miles per hour?
I mean, like, he's been doing that for a long time. He is. And, like, you know, and obviously a guy like TJ Oshie, like, very comfortable doing that, right?
Yeah.
Like, how many did he get in the Olympics? Six
Three
or something?
Three in a row, at least. Yeah, I don't know what the total was, but yeah.
Were you a guy, Otsi, on any particular breakaway where you just try to keep your mind as clear as possible? Did you have a thought process that shoot or pass won't be decided until I'm 6 feet away from the goalie, 10 feet away from the goalie?
You know what? Honestly, Kipper, I played against Mario a lot. And I'm not going to lie to you, I probably watched him have, over my career, 25 breakaways.
Yeah.
And I don't think he ever missed. He was magical. And he would always just cruise in, have the puck in a spot, and he'd either sort of like, you could tell he had a few options, being a taller guy. He was like, as a right-handed guy, over the glove, or he'd bluff it and deke the goalie. And he had the poise to deke the goalie, right? So I would practice that. I would practice coming in and being ready, kind of like 5 feet in front of the goalie, to either shoot it or be ready to deke, for sure.
Doesn't it all start with off that high glove shot? Like, I'm a righty as well, and it's kind of assumed, I think, that's the basic starting point. You're going to come in, you're going to shoot high glove. Guys will drop it and go to the back end. You can kind of build off that and pull it from there. But it all kind of starts from, so as a right shot coming down the left side, getting your stick to the middle, and that's like the building block one, right? And you just kind of run through your list like a quarterback going through reads, don't you?
And by the way, I think it's always been a huge advantage for right-handed shots.
I'm sorry.
To go up against goalies with the left-handed glove. Yeah.
Yeah, but listen, the whole thing, it's a huge advantage for lefties who have low blocker. That's the cheat code.
Well, okay, so that's Kuzi's shot, right?
Low blocker?
Oh, yeah. Kuzi comes in on an angle, and when he finally gets to sort of like the hash marks, if you look, his stick is in a position now that goal, he's kind of, his stick is square to the goalie. Just like you're talking about a righty.
Yeah.
You come in at the last second, you're in a position where the goalie has to respect over your glove, and then you've got five hole or you got a deke, right? A little different for the lefties. But when you watch Kuzi, he's in there. So at the last moment, he's sort of tried to, you could tell he's trying to make the goalie kind of like misstep, and he's got low blocker in mind first for sure.
Yeah, see, I think I'd rather deal with the
first
glove.
Off, are you a right or left shot?
I'm a left-handed shot.
Yeah, you're the cheat option.
Whoa. You didn't know that?
You know, no, but you're like one of those savant guys who like knows people's handedness and tape color.
I can't remember names. I can tell you which way they shot.
I don't get these people. I have nothing. I've watched the Leafs for like 10 Absolutely. Straight years. The other day I had to remember what hand Austin Matthews shot. I was like, yeah, I guess he hits it from that side.
Oh, my gosh.
It just doesn't stick with me.
I bet you if you ask Gratz, he could probably almost remember every point he got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just switching gears off of All-Star, I want to talk to you a little bit about power plays and just what are you seeing, how they've evolved? Because there's sometimes you look at the Toronto Maple Leafs here, we cover them daily here, and it looks good on paper, top 10, but there's some days I look at them and it looks like they're moving the puck in cement. And I'm just wondering how you've seen it evolve. And we watch Tampa Bay, and even though that they've struggled in terms of being consistent this year, that power play, the way they move the puck, to me, is as good as I've ever seen in the history of the game. It is phenomenal. Kucherov and Point and Stamkos. What is their secret? Is it just them and their talent, or is something being coached into them?
I mean, I'm a big believer in coaching. I am. The power play is obviously a very sensitive subject for me. And when I watch you, like you said something earlier about making reads, right? So when you watch Tampa, for example, which by the way, I think they're number one right now.
Yes.
It goes through Cooch, right? So Cooch gets the puck. So the other four guys know it's going to go to Cooch, unless there's some sort of crazy breakdown. So he's getting it, and you see right away that Stamkos and Point are in their positions instantly. And they've had to change the goal line guy. They've had a bunch of goal line guys, and they're still number one. So they know it's Nick Paul right now, and he's doing a great job. So, and they just go through their reads. They really do. And obviously they got a guy in Stammer that can hammer it, which is fantastic. But everybody has a guy that can one-time it. Toronto's got Austin Matthews. He's a pretty good shooter, right? And when you look at Tampa, Victor Hedman's left-handed. So their power play is number one, and it's still not optimal. If he was right-handed, they'd be even better. But they still, they're five guys that go out there. They know what they're doing. And, you know, the best example is when you think about a good quarterback in football, every single play, there's four choices. It's up to him to make the right choice, and they make the reads. And the very next play, he gets the ball again. So I'm not a fan of it not going through one guy. I like it going through one guy all the time.
So I know like in sports, everything is kind of we've taken the uniqueness out of the game and that everything gets optimized to this crazy degree. We're at a point where everyone uses a 1-3-1. Is it just simply the most efficient way to go about it, or is it a lack of creativity around the league?
Well, I mean, it depends who you talk to, but I, like, once again, it's coaching.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody has good players on their team. They do. Sometimes the sticks don't match. That's a tough subject.
Mm-hmm.
But the 1-3-1, to me, you need the guy in the middle, which is Braden Point, where he's the cheese, right? And he's very good there. And they can find him when the penalty killers fall asleep. And if they're on top of Braden Point, that allows Hedman and Stamkos to be a little closer to the goalie, right? So, like, yeah. The guy in the middle, to me, is vital. You know, he's the, and some teams don't keep a guy there, which I think is a mistake, personally.
Kucherov, for me, is one of the best I've ever seen at you can't read them. There's some guys that look like billboards. And then there's this guy where you don't know whether or not he's going to shoot or pass or and that, to me, that's the number one reason why I think it's so successful. It's to your point. It goes, not only does it go through him, but it goes through him with the best poker face out there.
Yeah. And, you know, when you think about it, like when it's going through one guy, so he's the quarterback, he gets to practice his reads every single day, right? So there's going to be a night maybe you're a little off, but if tomorrow night you get four power plays and you're getting the puck over there 30, 40 times, you're going to make some good decisions too, right? And he's a guy that practices it. And I think he's actually taken a step up this year. I think he's playing better hockey this year. You know, I get to watch him a lot, so he's been fantastic.
Yeah, fantastic. So are we going to see you around the All-Star weekend, or are you basking in 80-degree weather right now?
It's not quite 80, but it's pretty close. I was actually just home in Toronto, went to a couple junior games, went through Boston and Toronto, and I just got back here, actually. So I'm not coming to the game, but I'll be watching for sure.
Well, listen, we really appreciate you making time for us today, Oatsy. Always a pleasure having you, pal.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Hey, my pleasure, guys, always.
That's Adam Oates. Hall of Famer and one of the best passers in the history of the game.
15 clients?
He would eat up that passing skills competition weekend.
You know what's funny is I asked him, like, you're the guy who teach Kuznetsov that move or whatever. And he goes, he's been doing it for a long time, hasn't he? And he left it hanging. I quick Googled Oates Kuznetsov, and he obviously coached him at the start of his career. And it's a lot of, like, Oates trying not to get too excited about Kuznetsov's development. Like, clearly this man has been in Kuznetsov's ear.
Oatsy coach is my least favorite thing ever.
What's that?
Well, you guys are talking about the shootouts?
Yeah.
Like the slow and the methodical, and he's obviously coached
that. Yeah, I've heard. Go down, just shoot it in.
Rip it. That's for key coaching. Fast as you can, rip it.
Just shoot it.
The handedness thing?
Yeah.
I've played with the same six guys for 10 years. Couldn't tell you.
I'm actually shocked. You seem like a guy who would know everyone's.
Yeah. Couldn't tell you.
I got nothing.
Couldn't tell you.
Line mates of mine, I would have known
the
for
guy that
a
plays,
week.
Buddy Wardlaw, he shoots right because he plays in the right wing. I play in the left wing. Yeah. That's it. That's
See,
all I know.
If you brought up a name to me, the first pictures in my head is them holding a hockey stick.
Yeah, like, I guess me too, but I don't know which way. No. Like, dyslexic about this.
You've
yeah,
got them tough. All doing the Ken, like, Dryden lean. He was like,
they're all
right in the middle.
They're all just using Bobby Orr's stick flat.
But he said, like, oh, yeah, but Gretz remembers every point I ever had. I remember every point I ever had, and I know I had a tenth of Gretzky's points. But, like, I remember that stuff, but handedness and tape color to me.
But I don't even know what I had for breakfast today, but I can remember a guy shooting a certain way.
Hey, Jay's made a big signing today.
Justin Turner.
It's good. He's
looks like
he's 40
gritty,
isn't
a little
he?
Bit.
He's gritty. He's 40. Here's the thing.
But it was baseball.
Everybody's down on
40s like 30.
Jay's fans.
40's like 40, pal. There's no way around.
He's a late bloomer. He started getting good in his 30s. He bounced around before.
So in 5 years, he's going to be great.
No, but he's been really good. He's an NLCS MVP. Like, he's really a good player.
Is everybody excited about this in Blue Jay land?
No. People are pissed. Listen, the Ohtani thing really scorned some people.
So, I saw my boy Stoughton said something about, like, 3 straight years of decline. He made some sort of joke. Yeah. And I was like, doesn't sound like Turner's been getting better.
But here's the thing. The most notable thing to me is I looked at his splits today. And with two outs and runners in scoring position, he had an over 1,000 OPS.
And the Jays have been horrific there.
In 60 plate appearances, he mashes lefties. Bo Bichette called him out by name to Blair and Barker last week, saying that he was the guy that they'd like to sign.
And Turner?
And J.D. Martinez.
Martinez, sorry.
And he can only get a one-year deal.
Yeah, that's kind of how baseball's going these days. Like, unless you're like one of the super-duper stars.
He's got to chase the olds, man. He can't get the...
I'm going on the record right now that people that are hating on Justin Turner... He is going to be a fan favorite by July. He's going to be hitting third in the order. He's going to be one of the most important guys. I'm saying it right now.
All right.
Yep. Heard it here first. That's great. You know what? Dig in.
I'm not usually positive about this kind of stuff, and I am extremely excited
good.
About it. So there we go.
Good.
Let's get the order.
Positive news.
Yeah.
Are you going to do game time or are we going to go to break?
We'll go to break. We'll do game time in the second hour.
All right. Plenty more on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Do not go away. That is an order.
Teeing up the biggest games of the night, it's the Fan Pregame with Ailish Forfar and Justin Cuthbert.
Weekdays at 6 p.m. on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. What are you working on, Sammy? Talk to me.
Producing. Sometimes I do forget that I do produce it. So I'm just, we're figuring some things out here, but we're going to get Yorkie here shortly, having some Zoom issues.
Hold tight.
Turn microphone. Your microphone is off. You didn't hear any. None of that was heard.
Okay, try this again. I can't believe we didn't mention Sam's beautiful haircut today.
Thank you. Shout out my girl, Anna. Did a great job. Love her. Wouldn't trade her for the world.
What do you think?
Kipper doesn't like it.
She does that part time?
That's a really good line. What's her real job? What is she actually
doing? Oh, you're funny. You're pretty funny.
Oh, boy.
Just one game on tap last night.
Yeah.
I did not catch the first portion of the game, the going down 3-0 for the Ottawa Senators against Nashville. But
I caught bet on it.
I caught the rest of the game, and it looked good from the Ottawa side.
Dude, Ottawa was a powerhouse for two periods, the second and third period. They dominated, eh?
Yes. Wow. I mean,
watching Saros like, this guy's good.
Yeah, you know, Saros did everything he could to make this thing close.
Yeah. I am of the mind that Ottawa is going to win a lot of games between now and mid-April.
Yeah.
How long?
I can't quit them.
It won't be enough to... Take them anywhere.
It's just going to take them out of a good draft spot is what it's going to do.
The damage has been done.
And it's going to make people go, boy, should we keep Martin? Like, you know, because they are true talent.
That bothers me because we've seen over the course of the last 10 or 15 years where once the season's over and the pressure's off, they all start having a great February and early March.
And I'm calling that it's going to happen. I'm going to bet them all the way home.
Maybe it's already started.
Well, I think it possibly could. They're still in last. I actually think they're tied for second last in the Eastern Conference at this point. But, yeah, at this point, you're kind of playing for next year. But, you know, they had a tough start with...
This is a baseball thing where it's like September.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of fans who have been tricked by Septembers.
Yes.
Where it's like they're out of it. They have some September call-ups.
But, like, everything went wrong to start the year, right? Like, right out of the gates, you had the Shane Pinto situation. Like the Ann Lauer start, everyone got all excited. Pinto situation happens. You can't get a save for 2 months to start things off.
It just seemed so long to close out the sale. It just seemed like it was it just didn't get off to a great start.
And then, you know, the coaching hire fire thing was like, is it going to happen? If Ann Lauer didn't want to go in and make waves right away, obviously you can't blame a new owner for that. But like, probably if you're going to do it, it should happen sooner. It just was a clumsy start. But there's still a lot of talent on that roster.
They would have hoped that Pierre Dorion could have held on as long as he could, right?
Yeah.
The idea wasn't if they were going to get rid of Pierre Dorion, they would have done it right away. They did not want to do that this year. At least that's my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't know that as inside information or fact. Maybe Jason York does. Let's bring him in now.
One thing about Pierre Dorion. Pierre Dorion is very loyal.
Drop in a while. I love it.
Co-host of Coming In Hot, the Sens podcast. How are you, Yorkie?
I'm good, Kipper. By the way, I did not name that podcast Coming In Hot.
I like the name. Why
I don't mind it at all. I like saying it.
Coming in hot.
Hey.
That's Bobby Ryan's When Bobby came into Ottawa, I believe he said he was coming in hot when they announced he was coming into town. So that's Bob's catchphrase.
So we'll get into I don't know where to start here. Do we start just on what we just said, or do we go into the nuts and bolts of last night? I'll let you pick, Yorkie. What did you see last night? Because it kind of felt like, oh, just another one of those Ottawa games where they're just, they have no interest to look like a hockey team. And then they show all this new hope that they can be a good hockey club.
You know, I was listening to you guys talk there, and the one thing that Theos and Andlauer wanted to bring to this team was some calmness, some stability, and some quiet. You guys kind of went through the checklist of what's happened with this team since basically Michael Andlauer has bought it. Like, I don't know what else can go wrong. You get one of your best young players to get the gambling, the 41 games. You lose the first round pick. You guys went, but it's just, it's been chaos. So I just, to me, that's the big reason why Jacques Martin was an obvious guy to come in. He's a calm guy. He's, and I think the players are starting to buy into what Jacques is selling. And that's just that you don't always have to outscore teams. You don't always have to try and outskill teams. Sometimes you just got to stick with it. And that's kind of how they won that game last night. They didn't actually have a bad start. Tough first goal off a partition bounced in front of the net. But I like what they did after that. They didn't really get rattled. They didn't go away from what they need to do to be successful. And that's just to play smart defensively. And to me, it's a good sign. It's a good sign of something for a team where there hasn't been a lot of good signs this year, and they've been very inconsistent. But to me, Kipper and Borney, show me a good team, and I'll show you a good goalie. They've had, their goaltending has been so inconsistent this year. Korpisalo came in last night after getting pulled the game before. I think he let in four of four the game before. So if he can find a way to somehow get back to playing like the goalie that people thought that he was going to be when he came to town, then I think you're going to see the Ottawa Senators playing a lot better. But they, number one, they have to get better goaltending, or you're going to continue to see this team struggle.
Well, and part of the challenge now is, you know, it seems like this is not going to be a playoff year. I don't think I'm out on a limb making that statement, is assessing why they got to the point that they're at now. And if it is all these sort of convoluted, weird things that happen at the start of the year, like, is there still a good team here? And if that's the case, someone had mentioned, like, Chris Tanev to Ottawa. Like, what is Ottawa's plan going into next season? Is it that we need to blow this up, or is it maybe that this team was okay and needs adding?
Yeah. You know what I think, Marty? I think people just overvalued of where Ottawa is at their growing process.
Sure.
If you look at their center ice position and you look at games played and experience in the league, I'll start with Tim Stützle. He just turned 22. Then I'll go to Josh Norris, who's played not even two full seasons in his career because of injuries. Then you get down to Ridley Greig, who are both, like, they're super green. So if you look at good teams, usually there's some veteran presence down the middle, some guys that understand how to play a 200-foot game. I just don't think Ottawa's there yet. And that's part of the reason a guy like Jacques Martin, he's going to hopefully come in and teach these guys how to play on top of the puck, how to have better sticks, how to get in shooting lanes, how to block shots. Because before, Ottawa was just a team that kind of cheated offensively. They were really exciting, lots of good pieces, but they didn't play properly. And, you know, Kipper, you played in the NHL. Like, look at really good teams. The really good teams obviously have good goaltending, good D, but they have experience down the middle. And you just, for me, I'm guilty of it too, fellas. I forgot how young this team was down the middle, and I don't know, there's no thing you can do to give experience besides playing games. And I just think Ottawa had to go through some growing pains, and I just think a lot of people were just early on where they thought the Senators were going to be this year. And listen, the goalies have been atrocious too. Like, that doesn't help. But, you know, I just think they're a little bit away from where people thought they actually were.
So York, where is the link between Chris Tanev and a team destined to miss the playoffs this year?
You got three left-handed defensemen that can't play on the right side.
So
you've got Shabbat, you've got Chychrun, and you've got Sanderson. In a perfect world last year, Pierre Dorion would have brought, and I like Jake Chychrun as a player. I think he's really good. He's got lots of talent. But you've got three guys that are pretty similar in styles of play, puck-moving, skating-type defensemen. And their only really solid right-shot defenseman back there is Artem Zub. After Zub, there's really, like, Docker's a rookie, Hamonic, who knows what's going to happen with him. They really need a right-shot D back there. Get in line. Don't all teams in NHL, but Ottawa in particular, because they're overstacked on the left side. And I'm a big believer in righty-lefty guys. I don't know about you guys, but that's something that they need desperately, and it's because you got a bunch of guys that are left-handed that struggle playing on the right side.
Where are they up front with Brady Tkachuk? You know, he's watching that game last night, like, willing this team to offense and seems to, you know, be involved in everything they do on that side of the puck. You know, is he at the point where he's a legit superstar in this league, or is he still got steps to go to help make this team a legit playoff contender?
You know, I think he's a legit. He's not like a guy like a McDavid or a Drysdale or a Matthews. He's a throwback. He's basically his dad. He plays just like Keith.
Yeah.
Was Keith this reckless?
Oh, Keith was a truck.
Brady's right? Just all over the map. Yeah.
No, Keith was a power truck.
Yeah, like Keith. But Keith played in an era where you had Twister, you had Kelly Chase, you had Proby running around. Those guys don't exist anymore. So that's why Brady just really stands out in today's era, because now he's one of the toughest guys too. But Keith was really tough too. It's just... back when little Kipper had to fight all those guys, I'll tell you. That was a different era back then, and now Brady just kind of stands out because he's big, he's strong, and he's basically his dad playing in 2024. That's what he is, and he's a really good player that's hard to play against. And, like, good luck moving him in front of the net. He has skill, but it's a different kind of skill. It's like in tough areas, being hard on your stick, finishing hits. But basically, yeah, go back and watch some videos of Keith Tkachuk. That's Brady Tkachuk.
The other thing, too, is, again, you know, to your point about how young these guys are, and I got no problem Brady being a captain, but it's a learning curve for him. And there is... He's just going to have to continue to mature into that role is the best way I can describe it. Yorkie.
Yeah. No, and you know who's been a really big help for him, guys, is Claude Giroux. Giroux has been, I would say, Ottawa's best player this year. He's been that good.
Finished last night, eh?
Oh my god! And guys, you should watch Giroux. Like, when they have to win an important draw in the PK, Giroux's out there taking that draw. Late in games, protecting the lead, you need a goal. Like, for a guy that's on the back nine of his career, I've been so impressed, and he's the guy that's going to help Brady with the leadership. He's quiet, but that guy doesn't cheat the game. He doesn't cheat the game. And, you know, for Ottawa, he's untradeable. You can't.
Is he just going to ask that?
That's something they just don't have a lot of guys. I watched the game last night, and Justin Williams did a really nice segment on Claude Giroux, and he basically said, they don't have enough players like that. And that's kind of where they are, where they're at. Older guys that understand what it takes to be in the league, to be successful game in and game out. Don't cheat. Good pros. Ottawa needs more of those guys. So, yeah sure. Come trade deadline, fellas. You get a boatload for him. But you can't trade him, because I just think he's so important for the culture that you're trying to create moving forward.
The one thing I will say... Or, you know, get your thoughts on Yorkie, is that he does have $6.5 million left on a contract for next year. So that's in itself might be a challenge if you want to move him. But did he pick Ottawa? Did he come home to retire? And with it may come the thought that he will never win a Stanley Cup. Like, yeah. Where is that in the equation?
So I'm led to believe that this team is going to restock here over the offseason, that they're not going to go into rebuild mode. Like, they feel that if they make a few changes, they can get into the playoffs. And to me, that's going to be bringing in probably a veteran center, bringing in a right shot D. I don't know what they're going to do with the goal to hopefully Corpus Allo plays better the rest of the year. But I don't know. I don't see Claude wanting to leave. Maybe I'm wrong. He just seems like, I get what you're saying, Kipper, because you get to that age, right? Especially guys that have a burning inside, they want to win.
Yeah.
Not being inside his head, I don't know the answer to that, but I do know that Ottawa is going to try and kind of retool on the run here and try and make at least a run to make the playoffs next year.
Just one more for me before we let you go, and I just kind of swing it back to Jacob Chychrun. He got traded out of Arizona, and it was supposed to put the end to the question on where you're going to get traded every day in Arizona. And really, he's right back to where he was in Arizona, having to deal with us on a daily basis here. And you get the sense of frustration from him for sure. Where is this going to end for him? On another team? Or is he in Ottawa to stay?
It's a great question, Kipper. And like I said, there's a little bit of an issue with the righty-lefty situation going on, and you have a lot of the same thing. Like, even Zub. Zub's a similar player to those three guys. None of them are bangers. None of them are really defensive specialists. They're puck-moving, smart defensemen. They need a younger Chris Tanev. That's what they need, a guy that's got a few less miles on the odometer. So with Chychrun, I don't know. It's tough. You're going to move out a guy that's a top 4D. Well, you better get one in return, because then all of a sudden you're looking for another top 4D. So if they're going to do that, Kipper,
you got
to have someone coming back. And I don't know. When's the last time you saw you give a defenseman, you get one in return, right? It's so tough to do. But I like, he played really well last night. He had a really good game. I would be hesitant to trade him. I really would.
Yorkie, great stuff, man. Enjoy the All-Star weekend, okay?
Yeah, I'll be coming down, guys. We got the podcast setting up for a couple days. So
come find me.
Let's hook up for an old-fashioned.
Come find us.
Sounds good, Yorkie. Thanks, man.
See you, fellas.
Jason York, co-host of Coming in Hot, the Sens podcast.
Yeah.
Just a quick word here. The NHL's transformation of Toronto for the 2024 NHL All-Star Game this year includes the NHL Fanfare, which we'll be at. A four-day family-friendly event from February 1st to 4th with interactive hockey games, special appearances by NHL players, and much more. Visit Rogers and Sportsnet at the Fanfare to win awesome hockey prizes. Have your photo taken at their Sportsnet broadcast desk. Test the speed of your slap shot with the Rogers Hardest Shot Skills Competition. And if you haven't already, be sure to secure your tickets at nhl.com/fanfare while supplies last. And the downside of that is you have to see us.
That'll be great. Have you ever taken a shot on the radar gun?
No.
It would be really eye-opening for a lot of beer league players out there.
My backhand would be faster than my forehand, for sure. No question.
Jacob Chychrun hit, I think, 107 in Ottawa.
And the skills contest?
Yeah.
Yeah.
107.
I'm telling you, if you do it, or maybe your shot's going to be like 70, 65.
It was impressive.
I think, I was going to say, that's high for me. I don't know. Anyways.
I guess we got to go.
All right. Plenty more still to come on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We welcome in Frank Cervalli, who will give us the latest of what's out there. Our thanks to, again, Jason York and Hall of Famer Adam Oates. Plenty more to come on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Do not go away.